Good morning. I'd like to remind everybody it's Communion Sunday, and, or first Sunday of every month, or whatever you want. And any money not designated will go to the Oblation Fund. Would you please bow with me? Dear Lord, we ask you to watch over us this hour and watch over this money as it's given from the heart, as you distribute it through your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This morning, I'm just going to be doing a simple camp song, and I'm going to do it two times through, and I'm going to ask that you join me on the second time through. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Amen.
Welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I thank you all for coming and preparing. I'd like to begin our worship this morning with the singing, or not with the singing, sorry, with the scripture reading and then the singing of hymn, but with scripture reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink, it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, the body and the blood of Christ. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Turn in your hymnal to hymn number 24.
Humbly before your throne of mercy at this time, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray that you will look down upon this waiting congregation and pour out your Spirit, Father, upon each and every one of us, that we might reflect upon their goodness and love and mercy that you have shown unto each and every one of us. So, Father, we would pray that you would take this service into your care, and that you would, through your Spirit, that you would bless and touch each life, that we would feel and know that you have that eternal purpose of eternal life for each and every one of us that have made and hold on to that covenant relationship that we have made in the waters of baptism. And as this table has been set before us, Father, resembling your broken body and spilt blood, that we remember you, and that we would witness unto your Father, that we will keep your commandments and endure to the end, is my prayer in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Service before presider of the service, so I forgot to introduce for the people that are listening on the internet. The people that are serving up front today are Priest Richard Adams, Priest Caleb Postlewaite, Elder Clarence Herning, Elder Jonah Bates, I'm Elder Micah Bates, and Priest Josiah Bates, and Elder Richard Sanders. I read for you this morning, just before this, it said in verse 24 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it," talking about the bread, "and said, take, eat, this my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me." We are a close communionist. That means that those that have made a covenant with the Lord are allowed to take of the sacrament. And there's a reason why we do this. There's a purpose. It's not just so, you know, we can tell the difference between who's in the church and who's not in the church. It says, "This do in remembrance of me," in remembrance of the Son of God and his sacrifice. Now, what is it that we're remembering? To be remembering Jesus Christ, it has to be an experience in your life. You cannot remember something that you've never experienced. You cannot... I went on a trip with a couple of my friends to Sandusky, Ohio, a couple of years back. And, you know, we came back from this trip, we had a great time, and you know, we were talking about it and stuff. And if another friend of mine that hadn't been on that trip had come up and, you know, started saying, "Oh yeah, that was a great time, I remember all this stuff," you know, we would have been like, "Wait a second, that's not right. You weren't there. We don't remember, you know, we don't want to scoot you out of the group or anything, but what are you remembering? You aren't remembering the experiences that we had." The point of this is to remember Jesus Christ. And the only way that we can remember Jesus Christ is if he has come into our life and he has made the difference for us. We have experienced him. And who Jesus Christ is his sacrifice. And his sacrifice is for our sins. And the way that we take that sacrifice into our lives and make that a part of our lives is through baptism. That is the way that we invite the gift of Jesus Christ to be a part of our lives. It's through the baptism of water. And then in return... Oh, actually, first I'd like to read from 2 Nephi chapter 13, verse 9 of chapter 13 says, "But notwithstanding, he being holy, he sheweth unto the children of men, that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father, that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments." And says also further down the exact same thing, that it's in verse 18, it says, "But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after ye have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that ye are willing to keep his commandments by the baptism of water and have received the baptism of fire of the Holy Ghost." The important thing there is that I'm trying to point out is it says, after you have repented of your sins and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep, it says, "my commandments by the baptism of water. The purpose of baptism of water is not for everybody else to see. The purpose of baptism is to witness to God that we are willing to keep His commandments. It is the singular way that we can come into a relationship with the Lord. I've given this example before, but I'm not married, but with my mother, if I was to say to my mother, I am willing to do the dishes, and then I never did them, would she believe me? Was I honestly willing? Absolutely not. I was not willing because I did not do. We can say to the Lord all that we want. We are willing to keep your commandments. But unless we do, we are liars. And this commandment that we be baptized by water, it is essential. It is essential for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is essential for us to have that remission of our sins. God forgives who He will. And we can receive a forgiveness of our sins, but that remission where it has been paid for, where they have been taken away from us, the consequences of our sin, forever and ever, only comes through that covenant that we make through Him. And to remember Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, it has to have had some impact in our life. It has to have had some hold, something that we can look back and remember. This is what we are doing today. We are remembering what the Lord has done for us. That He sent His only begotten Son. That He came to this earth and He lived. Even a perfect man who thought it not robbery to be like God. Who continually gave up His will, not succumbing to the temptations that we succumb to. Who walked the road to Calvary, who died for our sins, and yet, being spotless, rose again. That we, through His death and resurrection, might be able to be partakers of the love of our Father in heaven. And there is no other way but by Jesus Christ that we can come to the presence of our Father again, for all we, like sheep, have gone astray to our own way. But He desires that we come back into His presence. And this today we do in remembrance of the covenant that we have made, that as we have promised to keep His commandments, He has promised us eternal life, life with Him. And I'm going to switch things up just a little bit here and ask my brother to share a little bit before we partake of the emblems. And then after that, we will partake of the emblems.
I'm just going to read a scripture from John, the 17th chapter. It says, this is Jesus praying before He was going to be crucified. And He's praying in the garden. He's speaking to His Father. And He says, starting in verse 2, as Thou hast given Him, He's talking about Himself in the third person here, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We understand from the scriptures and from the many times that the Spirit has confirmed to us through the preaching and everything, that all people, whether they've been good or bad in this life, will be resurrected. That in the Lord's plan for us, there's a time when everyone's bodies and their spirits will come back together. And a lot of times in our everyday existence, we think of that kind of thing as life. We think of, you know, well, I'm alive because I live in my body and, you know, I'm continuing to be on the earth. When my body dies, I will be dead. But we understand that everyone will have a body. Everyone will be resurrected. What does it mean then to have eternal life? If every single person is going to be resurrected, what does it mean to have eternal life? And the key here that Jesus gives us is that eternal life is knowing God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And that makes the difference between having eternity in life and having eternity in death and separation from God, is that knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ gives us joy, gives us life, and just existence is not that life. But the eternal life that we receive is the knowledge of God. Today we have the opportunity through this ordinance to come closer to God and to know Him. Many of you were here when we shared our testimonies about Chile. How many of you remember how much of a hard time we had with the language when we first went there? It's pretty tough. And we had been studying for a long time. We had studied, well, it had been 4 years since... 4 years? A lot. It had been a lot of years since Micah had been studying Spanish, actually studying in a classroom setting. And, you know, it got me thinking about how we're conversant in our knowledge of the Lord. It took us a while we were there in Chile to really become able to converse. And I thought about that in our relationship with the Lord. When you start learning a language, you learn a few things first. You learn greetings like hello, you know, how to ask where the bathroom is, how to ask where I can get food, things that are necessary for life. You start to learn more words. You start to learn, you know, make connections between the words you know in the language you already speak and the words you know or you need to know in the other language to start translating for yourself. But eventually, if you just know those words, you're going to fail when you go to that country. Because you need to be able to have it in such a way that you're not translating anymore. You're simply thinking in that language. And it's the same way with our knowledge of the Lord. I was thinking about this when we were in Chile again. We had had a time where we were sharing in one of the plazas, and the Lord had led us to this man. I don't know if you guys will remember the testimony, but we started talking to him. He had really arthritic legs, and he wanted to be healed. And his daughters came back while we were talking to him, and they wanted to, you know, scoot out of there. And in our weakness, Mike and I hurried our sharing with him, told him about administration, said, hey, you want to be healed? And he was like, well, sure, I'll, you know, whatever you guys can do. And so we laid our hands on him, and we both felt the Holy Spirit confirming that the Lord wanted to heal this man, but he wasn't healed. And I didn't know why. We went on, shared more that night. The next day, Micah and I woke up in the morning, and we both were impressed with the same exact thought, that unfortunately we had failed the Lord in that regard with that man, because we hadn't shared with him the most important thing. We had shared with him about the healing of his body, but we had forgotten to share with him about repentance. And that was the message that we were sent to preach. And as I started thinking about, you know, and praying, Lord, I'm so sorry for doing that, you know. Sorry that I didn't ask him to repent of his sin. Sorry that I didn't share with him those kind of things, because the Lord wasn't and isn't just interested in healing our bodies. He isn't just interested in giving us things in this physical life. He's interested in healing our souls. And he gives us those physical blessings, healings, things like that, only if they accomplish a work in our spirits also. And we repented of having not shared with him the gift of repentance for his spirit. And at the same time, I started thinking about how much do I know the Lord? You know, I went into that thinking I was just doing the Lord's work. And yet I did something that the Lord would never have done. And I started thinking about it. I was like, you know, I don't have eternal life yet. I'm not there yet. But the Lord is working with me, and step by step, He's helping me understand who He wants me to be. And there will come a time, if we continue on this path, where we'll be able to love each other as Christ would love them in the place that we are. And we'll create such a dynamic relationship between us and the Lord where He'll truly be able to ask us, as He did Enoch, or a better example would be the brother of Jared, "What wilt thou that I should do for thee?" Where He shows us and He says, "Okay, I've actually got some options here that we could use for fulfilling my plan. What do you want to do?" And He has us study it out, and we look at it together, and we say, "Okay, like the brother Jared, well, let's take these stones, and you touch them, and then that'll give us light." There are many, many ways the Lord could have given them light to cross the ocean to the Americas. But the Lord wanted it to be a relationship where the brother Jared was involved in changing. He didn't want to just say to the brother Jared, "Okay, go get some stones. Okay, now set them in front of me. Okay, now I'm going to touch them. Okay, now put them into the barges. Sorry, the Spanish word is barcos, and I couldn't think of the English word. You know, He doesn't want us to be just robots of God. He wants us to come into that relationship with Him, where we know Him, where we understand what He would like. And He also can involve us in that relationship also. So instead of having our free will drowned by His commandments instead are so that our free will can blossom into the fullest that it could ever have been. And we find, again, in this ordinance, an understanding of God's love. The ordinance that we're going to partake in today, and as Micah was talking about, the ordinance that leads up to this ordinance is the ordinance of baptism. And the form, I can't harp on this enough, is so important. We symbolize that we're willing to die and be resurrected, just as Christ was. That we're, and our first act of death and resurrection, our first act of love for ourselves, love for God, and love for other people, is to repent of our own sins. I can't stress that enough. You cannot love other people to the fullest extent without repenting of your sins first and coming unto God yourself. And so we take this time today, and I want to stress that the purpose of this ordinance is to come to know the Lord better. One thing that I always get out of it is the way that the priesthood are commanded to serve, the way that they're supposed to represent Christ giving His own flesh to you, and the way we humbly partake. The priesthood don't feed you. They don't stick it into your mouth and force it down your throat. And that's the same way with Christ. He doesn't force His gifts on us. He holds them out to us, and He asks us to partake of them. In the same way, we don't have power to go and just take them ourselves. He is the one that has laid down His life for us. He's the one that's putting it out there for us. Our job is just to partake if we will. Thinking about His body, the way that the bread symbolizes His body, and how we also are His body. And in partaking of His body, we don't just remember His physical body. We also remember what that did in laying down His physical body, and that now we are His body if we will allow ourselves to keep His commandments, because we are under His command. So just think about the ways that the Lord wants you to remember Him in this ordinance today. Think about in your lives, are you conversant in the language of the knowledge of God? Or are we still struggling with greetings and learning how to say meet and the word for boat? Are we to a place where we're trying to translate for ourselves the things of God into things that we understand? Or are we to the point yet where we can really share with the people that are around us the love of God, because we start to think in that language? We're starting to think in the love of God. Every time we come into a new situation, the love of God is working through our minds. How can I benefit that person? Maybe I'm at the store. How can I love that person? How can they come to the knowledge of God? And once we're at that point, that's where we'll have eternal life. That's where we'll be able to say, I have life eternal because I know God and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's the greatest gift we have. So prepare for the sacrament.
Would you bow as much as possible as the prayer is said over the bread?
Oh God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he has given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Bow once again as the prayer is said over the wine.
O God, the Eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the Eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Sacrifice My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died. But you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called a Lamb of God. My Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in His precious blood. I am just the Lamb of God.
Is there anyone who's missed their portion of the bread or the wine?
I'm gonna say a quote from a movie, I hope you don't mind, but love is what brings us together here today. And it's so true. The love of Jesus Christ is what brings us together here. I'm gonna read from Mark, the 12th chapter, verses 34 through 36. And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, hearken and hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the question I pose to you today is, how do you love the Lord? And it's actually a simple answer in the scriptures. It's to keep His commandments. And when we partake of the communion, every single time, the prayers say that we are willing to remember Him and to keep His commandments. In other words, we're willing to love our God. That's a simple, long and short baseline of it, is that by partaking of the communion, we're showing to our God that we are willing to love Him and to be His people. And the next thing is to love thy neighbor as thyself. And how do we love our neighbors? Another question that I'm going to ask is, what is the best thing that you can give to your neighbor? What is the greatest thing that you can show to somebody, that you can give them, that you can be to them? The answer to that is a witness of God. To stand for Him in all places and at all times. We are commanded in the scriptures as members of the church to stand, to be a witness unto everybody that we come in contact with. We are to uphold them, that we are to mourn with those that mourn, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort. But today I'm going to mostly talk about us being a witness to other people. And I'm going to go to Doctrine and Covenants 38,
section 38, verse 9c. And again I say unto you, I give unto you a commandment, that every man, brother, both elder, priest, teacher, and also member, go to with his might, with the labor of his hands, to prepare and accomplish the things which I have commanded. It's not a suggestion, saints. It's a commandment. It says, I give unto you a commandment. And how are we supposed to show God that we love him? By obeying his commandments. And how do we show our neighbors that we love them? By showing them to God and obeying God's commandments, that they might see through us an example, that we might accomplish the things which the Lord has commanded us. And the Lord has commanded us to build his Zion here on this earth. And we're not going to do that without love, saints. Another scripture I have is Doctrine and Covenants 85. Where'd you go? 22. At least, I hope that's it. Behold, I sent you out to testify and warn the people, and it becometh every man who hath been warned to warn his neighbor. Therefore, they are left without excuse, and their sins are upon their own heads. He that seeketh me early shall find me, and shall not be forsaken. In the Book of Mormon, Jacob and Joseph were two brothers. They were the brothers of Nephi, but they were also brothers to each other. They preached, and they taught the people there so that the sins of the people would not be upon their heads. And we are commanded to do the same things. Everyone that has been warned must warn his neighbor. Therefore, they are left without excuse, and their sins are upon their own heads. Sounds kind of selfish to say, I want to warn my neighbor so their sins aren't on my head. But it's so true that we have the gospel. We have the light that we must share, that we can bring others closer to God, and that we might lift them up to him, that we might bring his kingdom upon this earth. Whew. It's not much time, so I'm going to kind of cut short here. I'm going to read another scripture from section 7. Section 6. That's my bad. Sorry. Verse 16a through c. Fear not, little flock. Therefore, fear not, little flock. Do good. Let earth and hell combine against you. For if you are built upon my rock, they cannot prevail. Behold, I do not condemn you. Go your ways and sin no more. Perform with soberness the work which I have commanded you. Look unto me in every thought. Doubt not, fear not. Behold the wounds which pierce my side, and also the prints of the nails in my hands and feet. Be faithful, keep my commandments, and ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for the many blessings you've given us, and most importantly today, I thank you for the gift of your Son, and for the blood that was shed for us, that we might have that chance at forgiveness, and have that opportunity to overcome our sins, and that we might be restored unto you. Lord, I'd thank you for the message that was given today, and ask that we might take it to heart, that we might be willing to reach out to our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and all we come across, and that we might always be willing to share with them and to give them a reason for the joy that's in us, and not only just be willing, but to be excited to be able to work for you, and to be excited to be able to share your gospel with them, that they too might have that change in their lives and have that joy in them. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to have the day off tomorrow, and let us be able to use that time to celebrate your goodness, and to do your work. And I ask these things in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.